When you haven't found love, it can feel like everyone else has. It's in every movie, every song, and all the PDA. Looking for love sucks. Thankfully, California Psychics can give you the guidance you need to find the one. We guarantee, if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. Visit CaliforniaPsychics.com and experience the joy of certainty. California Psychics.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Cassis does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 244. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. You know the drill. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there as well. And hit the thumbs up on all the videos. We got the Play Tessie playlist there, so you know where to find all of our videos. And then find us on the socials, at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, here with Pearson Orr in spirit, my freaking hero. I love that name. Pearson Orr. I just, if they didn't hit Pearson Orr, I would have crashed out on this podcast. I'm very, very happy that they hit Pearson Orr. I declared it on Twitter when it was 0-0 that they had to win both of these games. We're through one of them. They still got to win the second game. I don't know how much baseball we're going to talk on this episode or something, like the games. Like, yes, the first one, sucked. They lost terribly. They took a ridiculously turbulent flight where if you listen to Cotillo on Fenway Rundown try to describe it, he's like, yeah, there are players that have bruised sides of their bodies because of how hard they were hitting the armrests. And, like, Garrett Whitlock was in the clubhouse in an IV. Like, it was nuts.
Can we start there? I have never in my life heard of a situation like that happening. Like, what happened? Did they just fly through like a monsoon or something? Like, they're hurt, they're injured from the plane ride and it landed.
All sick.
That's why I can't imagine what that was like. And they're doing the airplane celebration when they're hitting doubles today too. That's kind of, I guess, not self-deprecating, but that wouldn't be the word. Like, they're laughing in the face of adversity or a scary moment, I guess. I like
laughing
that.
In their own pain. I don't know. Pat?
Yeah. Do you think they're just going to shudder walking up the stairs on the plane tomorrow night?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine let's say they trade for Christian Vasquez and he's coming with them. And he's just like holly jolly, herky jerky, walking to the plane, and everyone else is, oh my God, they're green in the face at the prospect of walking up the plane stairs. And it's like, what?
You just have Garrett, don't move fast. Just like having everybody like just shuffle up the aisle so it doesn't just shake the plane.
Oh man, Whitlock might take one of those city bikes, those like scooter things that he drives to Fenway. He might take one from Minnesota all the way to Boston. I shouldn't be making fun of him. He was clearly shaken up. It's not funny. That was uncalled for by me. I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone.
No, but legitimately, it's crazy. They had to land in Detroit temporarily and then get back up in the air and get to Minnesota. It would have been totally understandable if they just kind of mailed it in the first game. The only game in the series where they're facing a real starting pitcher fully built up. Like, I'm sure by the time the podcast drops, you'll know for sure and it'll be announced, but I'm pretty sure they're going to have Bailey Ober tomorrow. I don't know what kind of pitch count he's going to be on, but yeah, Woods Richardson, the only fully built up starter, because the Twins decided to trade Chris Paddock 2 days before the start, and they had to start some schmuck. Pearson Orr. I love Pearson Orr. I'm sorry. Like, he throws 92. He had pretty good location. Like, he could command the ball. He was getting these balls right above the strike zone. It was 91, so it's like eventually they were going to get to him second time through. Like, it was what it was. But I enjoy the man.
How scared were you after the first inning?
The second inning, I was like, all right, come on. First inning was a joke.
Yeah, he was like kind of dealing in the first inning, and I was like, oh, dear God, not this. Not this.
Because how many times have we seen the Sox, and it's not as much this year's team, to their credit, it's not. It's more so the last couple of years. But how many times have we seen schmucks walk into Fenway Park or the Sox go somewhere and face some schmuck, and they just slice and dice them all night?
Who was the guy on the Blue Jays earlier this year? Easton Lucas. Oh, and it reminds me of last year with Bowden Francis, who did it two times to the Red Sox, and here we are talking like, hey, this kid, you know, big frame, throws hard. He this guy might actually be someone, and no, not really. It was just a painful
second
experience.
Half. Not a good year this year. Very
no,
bad.
not this year. That Pearson, right? Pearson?
Pearson Orr.
Pearson Orr. Yes, quite. A quite royal member of the family, Pearson Orr. I thought that he was quite hittable looking in the first inning, and that's why I was nervous, because he looked so hittable, and they didn't hit him. So
you
I'm thinking...
You just got your lunch! You just got your lunch!
Thank you, Eck.
Joe?
Hey, guys. Or is Pearson Orr about to be the new Johan Ramirez?
Okay, so there's two differences here, because Johan Ramirez is disgusting, and he's great, and he's in the majors again. Shout out Johan Ramirez, and curse the world
for
not letting me know.
It's not really the majors.
He's pitched like four games, and no one told me that he's back in the majors. What the fuck?
That's probably for a reason, Gordo.
It's because nobody knew.
They should know. I should know. You're right. I should know. Pearson Orr, I like for the opposite reason, because he's a bum. I love when teams throw schmucks at the Red Sox and the Red Sox actually hit said schmucks. I do. I hope they see him again. So, actually, they're not going to face the Twins again. I hope he gets traded at the deadline to a team they're facing and they get to face him again.
So Pearson Orr is a bum, but Johan
is
good. Said he's really good.
He's filthy.
All right.
Well, it's like last year. I would love to be on the receiving end of a Matt Dermody outing. You kidding me? A Brad Keller start? A Chase
Sanders? He's actually
start?
Good.
Yeah, no, Brad Keller's good now. Brad Keller's good now.
Matt Dermody. Oh my God. What, isn't he in like where he's pitching in a different country now? I don't know.
Dude, he's
not
down,
even, he's not even worth looking up.
No, he's down in like Chile or something. I don't know.
Screw that guy.
that was a bad time, and that was 2000. That was 22.
Nope. He's playing in Tijuana right now.
No, that was 23, wasn't it?
Matt Dermody?
Yeah,
2025. Yeah. He re-signed with Tijuana for a second season.
Oh God, I the only other thing I remember about that series, other than Matt Dermody, was that it was Murph's debut, and he came up, and I was like, okay, like Matt prospect, like let's see what he has, and he actually looked really good, and I was like, okay, like I can buy into that. He looked really good. And shout out, he's been good.
And then he's I'm not a Dermody guy. Murph and Dermody, wildly different guys.
Wildly different.
Yeah.
Could not be more different. Murph walks into the clubhouse like that meme with the guy in the pizza box, and he's like, oh shit.
Whoa. Hey. Anyway, so when is that trade deadline thing happening again?
Well, based off the amount of action so far across Major League Baseball, it's probably in like 2 weeks.
It's not happening.
It's just not. Yeah, they can make trades afterward this year. They brought back the waiver deadline. That's why it's so inactive.
Mm, That's fun.
But yeah, I mean, should we just like talk? What are the Sox going to do at the deadline? Because it feels like, and tampering expectations maybe is the wrong word, because I feel like the Red Sox obviously were barking up teams' trees. Like, we'll say the Twins, we'll say the Nationals, like some of these teams' trees that have controllable starting pitcher, the Royals with Chris Bubich before he went down, those, they're barking up their ears. That just because their eyes were set on those guys doesn't necessarily mean that those guys are going to get traded and the Red Sox are going to be the team that decides to overpay for those guys. Like, yeah, the Red Sox should be in on those guys. But the truth is, and again, I'll get on my soapbox, I cannot fathom why teams take chances with this and allow these guys to sit on the market longer and potentially get injured. They should trade these guys to teams that are willing to offer premium packages right now, like I'm sure the Red Sox were willing to do. It's not going to happen. Everyone and their mother is now saying the Red Sox are not going to end up with a controllable starting pitcher, not because they're not putting their best foot forward, but because those guys, particularly the guys of the ilk the Red Sox want, just aren't going to get dealt. And, you know, like if those guys don't get dealt, you can't get mad at the Red Sox for not paying the price that 29 other teams were not willing to pay.
Yeah, like we were talking about before we started recording, we do these mock trades all the time, and a lot of the time the responses are something like, oh, this is crazy. Why would the Red Sox pay this price? This, this, and that. The Red Sox are overpaying. They would never do this. And on one end, I'm like, yeah, the Red Sox probably would never do this. But on the other hand, it's not an overpay. That's the price. The price for these pitchers, like controllable pitchers, for example. That's been the rage. Everyone's been talking about controllable pitchers. Names like Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore, even Mitch Keller. People and the offers I see, people, I think he'll cost X, Y, and Z. Crazy. It's crazy. And then you see Sandy Alcantara, who's been awful this year. Just terrible. Has two good starts in a row. And now the Marlins are saying, oh, you want Sandy? You saw those two starts? We're going to need a pair of elite prospects. It's just, prices are tripled at the trade deadline. Just like Brandon Gomes with the Dodgers told Bradfo on Baseballs and Boring, prices are tripled. That's why we, the Dodgers, try to get everything done before the season, because we don't want to pay deadline prices. So what I think the Red Sox are going to do, hate to say it, I think it's going to be kind of like years past where they budget shop. Hopefully this year they kind of, you know, target the needs, get a starter, get a bat, maybe some bullpen help. But if you're expecting something crazy, something exciting, I just don't think it's this year.
Yeah. One thing I want to touch upon is the whole like Joe Ryan, Mackenzie Gore stuff. Because last year, the price on Garrett Crochet at the deadline was Robin Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. It just so happens that this year there are two Garrett Crochets. Their names are Joe Ryan and Mackenzie Gore. So in what world? Because if the price is as high as it supposedly is on those two guys right now, they're probably asking for one of Marcelo or Roman. You're going to look me in the eyes and tell me you're making that trade? You're a bullshit liar. There's no way. That being said, if those guys aren't getting moved, maybe they get into the high-end rental market. But the scary thing with that is, if those guys aren't getting moved, every other team's getting it on the high-end rental market. So I think they end up kind of settling for marginal upgrades, a la, you know, Charlie Morton. Sammy's a big Adrian Hauser guy, but maybe like an Adrian Hauser. Just something that's an upgrade over either or both of Fitz and Walker Buehler. Bullpen-wise, it was confirmed tonight that so far they've not been talking. Bednar, Helsley, Duran. I never really expected them to really dip their toes in that end of the deadline market. So if they're not talking those guys, though, then, I mean, what are you talking? A 6th, 7th inning guy? And then, like I've kind of been saying for a while now, I think they just kind of settle on maybe a first base platoon upgrade. It's just the way things look right now.
So let's back it up, because with the controllable starting pitchers not getting dealt, and there's a few different reasons why I firmly believe this, and it goes beyond the fact that there's been a bunch of reports saying it's not going to happen. But I think we can pretty safely say that the four outfielders that we talk about in the Red Sox glut of outfielders, they are staying put. The Red Sox are not we'll stick with Jarren Duran here because he's obviously the one that they were discussing. And even though they've essentially taken him off the market, the Padres, I guess, are still pushing for him. But it's just, it's not going to happen. A, because with Marcelo down, and they're going to be quiet on this until after the deadline so as to not show their cards. But yeah, they need to be able to play, say, down Rafael at second base, which I know we all hate, but like to get all their bats in the lineup, like it is what it is, and they're just going to have to do it.
I've come around on that, to be totally honest, like just to get the bats in the lineup, especially when they're struggling. And he's good at second base, which that wasn't really the issue. It was more so that he's not in center. But I got to kind of reel that in. I hated it at first. I still don't love it. But
no, it sucks. It sucks. Like you saw the play tonight. It was ridiculous. 15% catch probability lays out like that is a ball that no one else in the Red Sox organization gets to. But like it is what it is. So to be able to fit all four of those guys in the lineup, you have the ability to do it. You just got to play one out of position. If you traded Duran, you'd put Rafael in the outfield, and all of a sudden now you're scrambling at first base and second base. It's more difficult. Secondly, if there's no controllable starter getting traded, if there's no Joe Ryan moving, you're probably not trading Jarren Duran if you're not getting that back. And then third, Jarren Duran has been on an absolute heater coming into tonight where he hit a home run and a double. He had a 977 OPS in the month of July going into tonight.
You guys like him? You guys like him hitting third? I love it.
If he's hitting well, yeah. I like Roman in the leadoff spot, and I like hitting whoever the hot hand is third, and as long as that's Jarren Duran, stick with it, man.
It's great. It's like I didn't like Duran in the leadoff spot because he did too many strikeouts, doesn't get on base enough, like consistently at least. Like he has his streaks where he's on base all the time, but just it's not consistent enough overall through a full season. Roman Anthony, always on base, always working walks, always has long at-bats. He's on base for Bregman. That makes Bregman's life easier. Then you have Bregman and Roman on base, and that Duran sees better pitches. It decreases the chance of him striking out. I like that so much more.
And then also, Duran, when he gets on base, is not hitting in front of Bregman and Anthony. They're not as afraid to let him loose. Like you saw all the time when he would be in front of Rafi Devers, and it'd be like, well, he's not going to attempt a stolen base with Devers up and take away a two-run homer. Now he's up, and whoever, like the Red Sox kind of have an interchangeable cleanup hitter at this point. It's obviously not Bregman and Anthony. You can let him go. Cut him loose.
Right, yeah, and we didn't even want him to steal. When Devers would hit second, Duran's on first. I don't want him running. A double scores Duran from first. A home run scores two. You don't need to steal. Don't do that. So I like it. I think this is the new style of Major League Baseball, too. I don't think, you are fast, therefore you hit first. I don't think it's like that anymore. It's more just get on base, be an on-base machine. Roman Anthony fits that to a T. I hope he's leadoff for the rest of the season and then the next 12 years after that.
Yeah, I really like him in the role. He's built for it. He's just the at-bats, everything about it.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC.
Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do an exercise here. We'll play a game. Do we all agree that they're not going to end up with a controllable starter? Or do we still think, I know they were connected to Mitch Keller today. Like, they've obviously talked to the Marlins. If I asked you guys to name a starting pitcher that the Red Sox were going to acquire, would either of you name a controllable guy? Because if the answer is no, I'm going to read the rental list and we'll go from there.
Yeah, no.
No, Sammy, right, you wouldn't either. Okay. I'll read the rental list and you guys tell me if I'm forgetting anyone obvious. I might be, but we'll. I think I did an okay job here. Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Dylan Cease, Adrian Hauser, Charlie Morton, Zach Eflin, Tomoyuki Sugano, Dustin May, Shane Bieber, Zach Littell, Mike Soroka, Aaron Civale, and I suppose Andrew Heaney, but the Red Sox should not be getting Andrew Heaney. Yeah. Or Aaron Civale, yes, for that matter.
Yes. And Bieber, to be clear, Bieber, what's his, because he's technically not a rental, but he really is. He's like, it's a player option for $16 million, which means if he pitches well, he's obviously not going to take a $16 million deal, but if he pitches poorly, he'll be like, you're stuck with me for $16 million. So he's basically a rental if he is who you think he is. If that makes sense.
Right. And like, if he pitches poorly, you could convince yourself, hey, like, oh, he's fresh off of Tommy John. We don't mind having him on $16 million for next year. We probably would have given him that in free agency anyway. So like, maybe they don't mind if he comes and picks it up. That was a guy that Robert Murray had connected the Red Sox to. I mean, he said in the offseason, even Shane Bieber thought he was going to be a Red Sox. And
yeah,
it's hard to tell with Murray sometimes. Like, he'll sit there and say, I'm just doing some connecting the dots and connecting Bieber to the Red Sox just because of their interest in the offseason. But when he brings up Bieber and the Red Sox 2 days in a row, it feels a little bit more like it's legit and maybe he just can't say it. So who knows? I think there's definitely a real connection there. I wouldn't fault either of you guys for picking him to be the guy that you think the Red Sox will get. I think he's out of the list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 guys I just listed. He'd probably be in the top, what, 3 or 4 most likely guys that the Red Sox would get?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right. Sammy, you want to go first? Who do you think the Red Sox are going to get?
Man, well, this is going to be a little bit rough for me because my answer is I think the Red Sox are going to get Charlie Morton. And the reason I say this is tough for me is because Ken Rosenthal floated this idea back on July 14th. And I wrote on Twitter, I will saw my own leg off and eat it if the Red Sox pitching upgrade is Charlie Morton. So, yeah, not the.
Can I ask you a question, Sammy?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you feel, because I listen? First of all, Rosenthal, another guy, because he floated that idea as if it's just a theory, but obviously it's not. Same thing when he said the Red Sox last September could sign Bregman and move Devers to first. Like, shocker, that's exactly what they were thinking of doing. When Charlie Morton's name was surfaced over the All-Star break by Rosenthal, everyone on Red Sox Twitter had the same reaction. Everyone like threw up in their mouth a little bit and then swallowed it. Now that there are some starters that have come off the market, like Seth Lugo comes to mind. I mean, I guess Chris Paddock has been traded. I feel like there's another starter that's off the market for some reason. Maybe a team came into contention. I don't know. Like, you're not, there's a, or maybe it's like the fact that the controllable guys are gone. Whoa. And the Rangers are in contention. That
you had like Eric Fetty and Cookie Carrasco, if you count those two.
Yeah, true.
You can count Eric Fetty. But yeah, what I'm trying to get at here is that I had the same reaction at the time, but after sitting on it and seeing, like, I just read you the list of rentals. Charlie Morton is one of the better names on that list.
Yeah, and you wrote today on Twitter, I have it right here, Charlie Morton, since he came back into the rotation on May 17th, 3.9 ERA. That's not incredible, but that's very solid. So Maybe I jumped the gun, was a little bit dramatic, saying I was going to remove a limb and then consume that limb if the Red Sox got Charlie Morton, who is 41 years old. But, you know, 2 months, I don't expect this team to friggin' win the World Series. I'm going to be happy if they make the playoffs. And Charlie Morton is a guy who, A, can help get them there, and B, I think we'd all feel comfortable with him starting a playoff game. Not like he's going to go seven innings and dominate, but we don't think he's going to poop his pants because the lights are too bright. He's been around forever. So Charlie Morton, that's my choice. I'd be fine with it.
The key is he's better than your four and your five currently. He's better than Fitz and Buehler. Where if you're not getting a controllable arm, that's the bare minimum. You have to ask yourself, is this guy better? Would this guy slide in as our number four starting pitcher today? On a rental basis, that's fine. On a controllable basis, it's not. On a rental basis, it is, and that's why I'd be fine if Charlie Morton's the guy. 3.9 ERA in his 12 starts since rejoining the rotation, as you said, Sammy. Like, he's better than what you got, and you can start in a playoff game and feel fine about it.
Also a great guy to have around the young guys, too. Like, that's a guy who's seen it all. He's been around, so that's you know, it's not huge, but that's a little added bonus.
Yeah, I think the other thing with Morton is I could already see that people are going to liken it to when they got Paxton last year.
Oh, it's so different.
It's so different, yeah. Like, this is a guy with postseason pedigree. It's a guy who's been on a genuine, like, really good stretch. Very little, if any, injury history, I believe. He's a World Series winner. He's by no means is he is. I wouldn't even call him a substantial upgrade. He is far better than what the DFA'd James Paxton was last year. And he is much better than Walker Buehler and Richard Fitz right now and probably for the stretch.
If you want to go into Charlie Morton's playoff history too, he's pitched in 18 playoff games. 17 of those are starts, and he has a 3.6 ERA. Obviously, yeah, he's, what is he, 41? Do I have that right? Yeah, he's 41. Like, he's obviously not the pitcher that he was in a lot of those games, but it's a guy who's pitched well lately. He's pitched his best ball of the season outside of one start out of the All-Star break. Pat, would you be fine on a rental basis if Charlie Morton is the guy? Like, okay, fine is not the – okay, let me just ask open-ended. What's your reaction if Charlie Morton is the starting pitcher that they get? Sammy said you'd cut – what would you say? What are you going to cut off, Sandy? Sammy? Sammy Alcantara?
I said, quote, I will saw my own leg off and eat it if the Red Sox pitching upgrade is Charlie Morton.
Okay, so that's Sammy's reaction. So Sammy's going to chop off his leg
used
and
to
eat
be,
it.
Used to be. Now my reaction is, that's fine.
But you have to do it. You said you'd do it. So it is your reaction.
I'm still going to saw my leg off and eat it. But yeah.
You'll at least feel better about the pitching ad that the Red Sox made while you eat it.
I'll be smiling saying. While I do it. Yeah, I'll be like, hey, this team could make the playoffs.
Okay, so Pat, on a scale of the Red Sox just got Joe Ryan to cutting your leg off and eating it, where would you fall if they got Charlie Morton?
Closer to cutting my leg off.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll get into everything else. But if their deadline additions are a low leverage reliever in Charlie Morton, I will officially announce them as a non-playoff team.
Wow. All right, because, Pat, let me ask you this then.
Okay, and then I'll elaborate. Ask me though.
Okay, I'm going to read you the list of rental starters again, and you're going to count and tell me how many of them are better than Charlie Morton.
Okay.
Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Dylan Cease, Adrian Hauser, Charlie Morton, Zach Eflin, Sugano, May, Bieber, Littell, Soroka, Savali, Heaney. How many of those guys are better than, not counting Charlie Morton himself?
Six.
Six?
I was going to say five or six, yeah.
Okay, Kelly, Charlie Morton's better than Zach Gallen.
I'd go Gallen. I would just go Gallen. That's just a personal thing. So skip Gallen. Skip Gallen.
If it were for a full year, I would take Gallen.
Okay.
People will agree with you, Pat, because Gallen has been much better.
I'll go with you, Gordo. I'll go with you. I think Gallen is like a completely different pitcher. I don't know what the fuck happened to him, but nothing looks the same. So for these 2 months, yes. I'll stick Morton.
Okay. Merrill Kelly's better. Cease, probably better, but also has had a bad year.
Three. Littell.
Okay, I'll give you Littell.
And there was one more in there.
Hauser, Eflin. Eflin,
May, right? Bieber, we go Bieber? Eflin. Nope. Oh, Bieber and Eflin. Yeah, so six. Bieber and Eflin.
Okay.
That's yeah.
This is a tough one. I'll definitely say Merrill Kelly's better. To be honest with you, he's the only one on this list that I can definitively say. Definitively. You can make arguments for others, for several. For all the ones you said, you can make arguments.
Give me Hauser, bro. No love for Hauser. He's been so good. I know he's only pitched 11 games. We've got a 2.1 ERA. He's been great. Hauser, man. Ground ball machine.
You're not wrong. He's been great.
Trust him, though. I don't trust him, though, to be totally honest.
So my point for saying that, for the non-playoff team thing, it's more so the messaging. And we've seen it before in deadlines prior, how the deadline just completely destroys the clubhouse. You can't trade Raffy. Say, we're going to bring the same hunger we brought from the offseason to the deadline. We're going to win more games without Raffy. We're going to be aggressive. We're buying. For 2 months, we're buying. And then go out and get Morton and some 35-year-old slapdick. You can't do that.
Well, the thing is, Pat, I feel like you, and maybe it's different compared, like talking to players who maybe, like, because I get it, they have a job to do and they got to be locked in on their job, and we're locked in on the rumors and they can't afford to be as locked in on it as we are. But if you compare, if they get Charlie Morton and no controllable starters are dealt, they're going to be among the top adders at the deadline.
Which, yeah, that's, I blame the new playoff format for that. There's so many teams that think they can contend, and now there's less sellers and the prices go up because of it.
Well, they got to push back the deadline. That's the solution. It's got to be pushed back 2 weeks. Then you'll have more sellers.
I guess that would help a little bit. I think it's a worthwhile trade-off, though. As much as I love the trade deadline, I think expanded playoffs, like competitive baseball, is good.
I hated it at first, but it's better. You're right.
Pat alluded to just like a imaginary 35-year-old pitcher, but what would you say?
I said slapdick. I called him a slapdick, yep. Sammy.
35-year-old slapdick. But what if I told you you could get a 45-year-old pitcher in DFA'd Rich Hill, baby? What about Rich Hill? I mean, I'm so down for Rich Hill just for the vibes.
Have to give up anything. You give up nothing.
Rich Hill for free, Pat. Come on. Free. Come on, Pat.
Look at that glare, Sammy. Do you see that? Look, he was giving you.
He hates it.
He's a friend of the program. He's a good guy. He's a local guy. Fuck no.
Come on, dude. Come on. All right. Fourth stint with the Red Sox would be so fun.
Pat. How about no?
Pat, who's your guy? Sammy predicted Charlie Morton. Who's your guy? Who are you going to predict?
So, unfortunately, I think their best odds are Morton. After I just said all that, I think their best odds are Morton. The one guy, though, that I am very, very intrigued by, and I think that there's a, I would say, second best odds behind Morton, is Bieber. Because, because Robert Murray was saying that he thought, and at one point, Bieber himself thought that he was going to Boston. So there's definitely a link there. With the whole Emmanuel Class A stuff going on, the Guardians are even more willing to listen on guys, move guys. They're listening on Kwan right now. So I don't think it's really a question that they would move Bieber. And I don't think it's really a question that the Sox would have interest in Bieber. That being said, I do wonder if there's some kind of deal that can be made where his player option is like already picked up. I don't even know if they do that in baseball. They do in other sports. That's the one that really, really interests me, because I do think they have a very good might be strong, a good shot at getting Bieber if the Guardians are actually willing to listen and move him.
Bieber, okay. In a vacuum, you want the Red Sox to get a guy that you're a little bit more sure of. But let's say that, hey, tomorrow Merrill Kelly goes somewhere else. And he goes to the Yankees, and you're looking at this list of rentals, and it's like, well, I don't want to pay the price that the Padres are asking for Dylan Cease because he hasn't been that good. I don't want to pay the price that the Diamondbacks are asking for Zach Gallen because he hasn't been that good. I don't trust Adrian Hauser. Maybe Charlie Morton got shipped somewhere else too. And it's like, who the fuck am I going to trade for? And it's like, okay, we really like Shane Bieber enough to offer him some considerable money in the offseason. We've liked what we've seen out of his rehab starts. Maybe the move is to get a Shane Bieber and then maybe get another guy too, just to, I mean, they need it. They sent Fitz down, so they need a guy to start on Sunday. So like, I don't know what schedule any of these pitchers are on, but like, if you can get an Aaron Civale for next to nothing and get him with Bieber, and even if you have to DFA Civale, I don't even know. Like maybe you call up Kyle Harrison for the start, and that's the solution. He's not coming off a good start in AAA. And Pat,
I do think one guy, and I don't think it's likely, but could fit into like that start right there, and then eventually push the bullpen where he's been really good, is Mike Soroka. Soroka's a guy who's not having a good year as a starter, but his numbers are, as a reliever, are legit phenomenal.
It's a good thought, Pat.
Which I didn't know.
I like that thought because, yes, you trade for Soroka and he makes a couple of starts for you, but then as soon as Bieber's ready to come back, like, you're more than happy to put him in the bullpen. Whereas like a guy like Civale, you're not putting him in the bullpen. He's got worse stuff than everyone in your bullpen right now.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Does the gambling thing with the Guardians worry you guys at all with Bieber?
No, just because the Guardians, I know that Hector put out that report, but the Guardians statement said that they were told that no one else is going to be impacted by it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Of course they're going to say that. It doesn't worry me. I don't think Bieber, was he around the team at that time last year? Like, but you know, they have phones and shit, so that might not even matter. Yeah, I don't know. It's not dissuading me too much, but I think it's just worth thinking about.
What do you think about Bieber? Like, Sammy, just purely as a pitcher, if the Red Sox got Shane Bieber, your thoughts?
It's a weird one because Bieber's a guy I think you could see recovering well from surgery because he's never been a blow you away with crazy hard fastball stuff. He's kind of mix and match, just dice you up. But on the other hand, man, am I tired of reclamation projects. It is tiring as a fan to be like, what version of this pitcher am I getting today? I root for the Red Sox, who are owned by Fenway Sports Group, who's worth $13 billion, yet they're going for reclamation projects. So that's a really tough question. I'd be happy if they got Shane Bieber. I think he would help out in 2025. I just don't know which Shane Bieber this is going to be. Is this going to be prime Bieber where he's an ace, a number one, just like Crochet, different style of pitching, but he was an ace. I would say Bieber was a legit number one starter for a while. Or are you going to get a watered down version, or are you going to get something like you got with Walker Buehler this year where it just doesn't look like him at all? Like, what is it? It's just, there's so many question marks that come with Bieber. I'd be fine with it, but that's not the direction I'd go at this time. In the offseason, sure, totally different. You can reevaluate. You give him more of a runway. You'll know more about who you're getting. Price will go up, sure, but I think that's a worthwhile trade-off. I just, at the deadline right now, probably not the way I'd go.
Pat?
Yeah, one thing I do think it's worth mentioning with Bieber is, let's say they go either with my scenario where he like pretty much guarantees he picks up his player option, or the other route where he's so bad he picks it up. Let's just say he's in the fold, guaranteed for 26. The scary thing with that, which is, it's never a bad thing, I will not complain about it, but on paper, you kind of do have a guaranteed rotation, which I don't love because they definitely need a number two. Because you would have Crochet, obviously. You'd have Bieber, whether it be through, you know, the trade picking up his option or him picking up his option. You would have Bayo. I would almost guarantee at this point they pick up Giolito's $14 million option for next year because I don't think he's hitting 130 innings.
It's going to be close.
Then he will be. Sandoval will be back and fully healthy. Cutter's probably going to be healthy. Hauk is probably going to be healthy. Fitz is healthy. And then you have Dobbins, who will be healthy at some point, and Harrison.
10 guys. Which that's kind of the number you want to be at, is 10 guys to make it through a season. The thing is, it's just, those 10 guys are all pretty established. Like, ideally, some of those guys are up-and-coming guys in the way that Fitz and Dobbins were this year, where it's like, I mean, a guy like Dobbins can't be upset if you option him to AAA in favor of more established starters in the majors. But, like, next year, if, let's say, they option Cutter, like, that's different. That's a guy who made 30 starts for you. That's a guy who's put together multiple good seasons for you. So I agree with you, Pat. I do think having Bieber and Sandoval particularly in the same rotation would be a little bit weird next year. But again, like, if Bieber is – like, if this is a guy – you got to trust your evaluations. Like, this is a guy, and that's why Robert Murray is making that connection, if that's all he's doing, is the Red Sox evaluation is that this guy was worth that kind of money to pay to try to come back around the All-Star break this year, which is sort of what the hope was when he was a free agent. It obviously took a little bit longer, as it usually does. But clearly they like the guy, and hey, maybe they get him, he pitches well, and you know, maybe he's the number two. You invest in him long term. If he blows you away, you know, he's got like a 2.95 ERA the rest of the year. It's like, hell, this guy, like, we wanted him in the offseason. Looks like we were right. We ended up getting him anyway, and he pitches well, and maybe he's the number two.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I just, yeah.
It's a risk. It's a risk. And that's like the highest possible, like, that's the 99th percentile outcome.
And just look at the difference. Just look at the difference when you pay up for a guy like Crochet, and you know who you're getting. You know you're getting a motherfucker who's healthy and ready to go. No, I know, but I'm saying get a rental, and then in the offseason you can do that. What you did with Crochet, you do that right. With Joe Ryan or Mackenzie Gore. Like, I would hold out for that. Like, I'm trying to, as much as I want this 2025 team to be better and be improved, and I still think they will, I don't want to mortgage that big starting pitcher trade that turns you from a, this team could make the playoffs team to a, oh my God, this is a World Series team kind of group.
Okay. Oh, Pat, you go first and then I'll
really quick. Very quick. My thing is Sammy, I 100% agree. If I had it my way, you go rental, you have that number two spot in the rotation open going into not the postseason, the off season. Sorry. That being said, I'm okay with Morton, but I'm really not. Like, I don't think, point blank, what are the odds around right now that you would give them on getting Merrill Kelly?
Well, let's hold off because that's going to be my guy here. Okay. That's going to be my prediction.
Go for it.
Because we've heard so many times leading up to this deadline from people tapped in with upper management, both nationally and locally, that outside of that one Passan article where he's like, yeah, they're going to operate efficiently, everyone has said, yeah, like the Red Sox understand that they need to make the playoffs this year. It's important for their up-and-coming guys. It's important for the fans. It's important for us as an organization to do it. And they're right because it's the truth. There are, like, we saw it with the 18 team. They're stepping stones to winning a title. Like, most teams do not just launch into the playoffs for the first time and win the World Series. Like, you got to get there. And, yeah, this group – It would be very useful long term to just get there. And as we've seen, you never know if you make the playoffs, if you can win the World Series. It can happen. It happens in baseball more so than other sports that random teams just go on runs. So I think they're going to hold up to their word here. They said they were going to be buyers. I think they're going to legitimately buy. They're going to buy more than they did last year. And that's why I'm going to go with Merrill Kelly here. I've dabbled back and forth between Kelly and Morton, thinking really one of those guys, but the Shane Bieber thing put a little wrench in that. I really do think one of those three guys is going to be on the Red Sox by the end of this. But I'll go with Merrill Kelly here because I think he's the best option. Sammy had my stat from Twitter where it was, what was it, 3.9 ERA for Morton or 3.8?
3.9 from Morton, then 2.9 from...
there you go.
From Kelly.
From Merrill Kelly. 2.9 ERA from Merrill Kelly in his last 13 starts. And he's got a low 3 ERA for the year. Like, he's been as solid as they come. And I honestly think people are maybe a little bit too low on him based off of what he's done consistently throughout the entire season. That's a guy with what he's done that you can start in game two of a postseason series and feel pretty good about. And maybe Bayo pitches his way above it and you start him in game three, even better. But that's the best guy I feel like on the market pitching wise that's going to be available to them. And so I'll go with Merrill Kelly. It would be exciting. They could keep him for the year, and he's not a guy that you sign long-term. They'd have to pay a premium for him. It's going to make you uncomfortable. It's going to be one of those young pitchers, maybe one of the two young guys that got promoted to AAA earlier, Sandlin. It's going to hurt. But if you want to get this team to the playoffs, you got to take the pain with it, and I think they're willing to do it.
So I hope you're right, Gordo, because that's my number one choice. If I could pick, it would be Merrill Kelly. My guess is Charlie Morton, but my pick, if I could choose, would be him. My issue with that is, you just said it, he's the best rental on the market. There's a lot of rental options, but none of them are super sexy other than that. So I think there's a good chance that price is going to be prohibitive. My guess, I think the Diamondbacks would probably ask for password. That's just where I think they'd go. I think they'd ask for a top 100 prospect, but not your best guy, like a guy that you could see, you know, you could see that happening, a trade like that happening in a vacuum, maybe not with the Red Sox, but another team, like a lower end top 100 prospect. I wish they could get it done for some Rule 5 guys like Blaze and Sandlin. I'd even go early for him, for Merrill Kelly, Connelly Early, who just got promoted to AAA. I just think the price is going to be, for him, I think it's going to be high just because he is the best rental on the market. And the Red Sox almost never get the best guy on the market. They always go like with the lefties, free agency. We all wanted Tanner Scott. They got the second best guy with Chapman, who's outperformed him. But at the time, that's the second best option.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, Sammy. I think that things hopefully this year are going to be a little bit different. They've operated differently this year. But again, like if they get a Charlie Morton or a Shane Bieber, which you guys brought up, like that's the same thing. Like you're operating at the top of the rental market if you get one of those three guys, which we all predicted. Agreed that Merrill Kelly is a step above. I agree with you there.
Would you do it for Password? If that's the price, you wouldn't do it?
I wouldn't. There's not a rental I would trade Password for. If he goes for a Password equivalent, I will not be upset at the Red Sox for not beating it.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I think that's a lot for a rental.
I would package some of those mid-tier guys, though. Like if you did Connelly Early and like two Rule 5 guys, maybe not Early and Sandlin, but like Early, Blaze Jordan, and whoever else. Yes, like I would give them like quality mid-tier prospects, like two or three of them, rather than like a Password. Because I think Miguel, a Password is something that's valuable as like the second tier in a monster package for number two.
Right. Yeah, that's the difference. Like Miguel Blaze, that's someone, interestingly, like Alex Speer the other day on his podcast brought him up as a guy who he thinks could be dealt. And Jen McCaffrey wrote about him in her article as someone with maybe a high likelihood to be dealt. And all of this, a lot of this has to do with Rule 5 eligibility, but like that's a guy who he's going to be blocked in the outfield regardless. He is underperformed, and who knows how much longer he's going to have value if that continues. And he's Rule 5 eligible. So guys like that, he's got a high ceiling. That's the type of guy that a team like the Diamondbacks, hey, maybe new environment. If we tap into that, then that's different. Change the environment, change his life. Maybe he taps into something. I don't know. But those are the types of guys they're going to be searching for, and it's going to hurt. I think even if you get a Charlie Morton or a Shane Bieber, it's going to hurt. With the way this market's going, like Chris Paddock got like a legitimate prospect and got the Tigers to eat a terrible salary. And Chris Paddock stinks. So like it's going to hurt regardless.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Regardless, let's quickly get to just maybe quick bullpen prediction, or just what would you do with the bullpen? It's way too hard to predict. There are way too many names. It's impossible. But if you were the Red Sox, let's go really quickly. How high would you aim on the bullpen? Sammy, I'll start with you. How high would you aim, and who's a name you really like?
I really like Aaron Bummer. I think he's nasty, one of the most underrated lefties in Major League Baseball. To be totally candid, I haven't checked in on him in like a week. But still, that's a guy. We spoke to Tristan Casas in spring training a year ago, and he said Aaron Bummer is the most difficult lefty he's faced, ever. Difficult pitcher he's faced. And when you look at his page, he's got a 4.25 ERA. That doesn't look good. His FIP is 3.4. So he's way, way, way outperforming his numbers. I think that's a pretty safe bet. To say he's much better than that. 9.1 Ks through nine, so that's, you know, solid. I think he's a slight upgrade over Bernardino, probably in that same class. But it would just be good to have that depth in the org. I think Bummer is a guy with upside as well. So that's where I'd go. I wouldn't do anything crazy with the bullpen, just kind of a depth piece, because if you look at the depth chart, if they get one injury, it gets a little sketchy. Like, the bullpen's been great. I was totally wrong about the bullpen. But the depth is not good, and I maintain it is. That's the scary part of the bullpen. One injury, and then you got someone that you don't feel very good about. So I'd go Aaron Bummer. Kind of unexciting, but who knows?
Pat, who would you go after? One reliever.
Yeah, I don't know what the price would be, because he is controllable through, I think it's 28. But one guy who's just like in a bad setting that I think would be an absolute monster anywhere else is Jake Bird in Colorado. Jake Bird in Colorado is a 4.75, which is not pretty. A 1.48.
How's that possible? He had like a 1 ERA like for 2 months in the start of the year.
Yeah.
I got an insane stat on him when you're done, Pat.
Okay. Looking at his Baseball Savant page, not in terms of like value, like pitching, fastball, whatever. His pitching percentiles, the only thing he is not above average in is walk percent, hard hit, and extension. He's above average in everything else, which feels impossible for a guy who in 45 outings has a 4.73 and a 1.5 whip.
You want to hear the most insane Jake Bird stat?
Hit me.
So this is nuts. Jake Bird pitches for the Rockies, Coors Field. In 24 games at Coors Field this year, 2.48 ERA. Like, really good. Here's the crazy part. On the road, 7.4 ERA. He's somehow figured out how to pitch in Coors Field, but it's taken away his ability to pitch everywhere else. I think the Rockies should just extend this guy forever. He might be the only guy who can actually pitch there. But no, but Pat, even despite those bizarre numbers, that's still a good addition. I think that's more kind of fluky, weird, just an anomaly, rather than like this guy's not actually good, because like it makes no sense at all. Jake Bird's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, real quick, just to put a bow on Jake Bird, his expected ERA is a 3.56 and his FIP is a 3.45, so the underlying metrics are very, very good.
I think he would cost a good amount, just because I keep reading that the Rockies, and like Sammy and I love their guy Halverson, but the reports keep coming out that they're putting these super high prices on their relievers. And I feel like there's a chance you get very disappointed. I keep seeing the Yankees as the team with Jake Bird. I hope that doesn't happen. Cause I agree. Like with what you're saying, like that's what teams see. And like, that's why the Rockies are going to hold a high price, but it's an interesting guy. I'll give you mine. Mine's going to be Raisel Iglesias. And I surfaced this guy on a previous podcast. What was his money? He's in the last year of a 4-year, $58 million deal. Does someone want to do the math on that for me? That's like what? Close to 15 million a year?
It's 14 and a half.
$14.5 million a year. Obviously, it's prorated at this point, but he's going to have a limited list of suitors just because of how much money he's making if the Braves aren't willing to eat money, which maybe they will. Maybe they are. But this is a guy, he's got tough numbers for the year, but in his last 19 appearances, 17 of them are scoreless. He's got a 2.55 ERA, 2.3 FIP in that stretch. And this is a guy with late inning relief experience, closing experience, playoff experience, name it. But a guy that you can reasonably trust late in games in situations like, let's say, game one, where Jordan Hicks got up and had to sit down and then get back up an hour and a half later, the day after throwing 25 pitches. It's just not a situation you want to put him in, a guy who has control issues. Raisel Iglesias is a guy who's been through the ringer. He's done it. And I keep seeing him connected to the Blue Jays. I don't know how serious that's going to be now with them getting Sir Anthony Dominguez. I do think they're going to be in the market for another reliever, so plenty of chance it does happen. But the Red Sox, with their financial flexibility after moving Devers, if you want to show the fans, hey, like, we are in it to win it, and we're willing to put our money where our mouth is, like our literal money, then paying less in terms of prospect capital to take on Raisel Iglesias and all of his remaining money, you could do worse than that. And it would speak to me. Like, I would talk them up for that. If they took on that money instead of paying a premium prospect package for a rental reliever who's cost effective or whatnot, like, this is a guy who fits everything and you can afford to do it, and I would like him.
Did you say how far they are? I'm just, for CBT purposes. Yeah, whatever. We don't have to discuss.
Yeah, we don't have time to get
the
into
luxury
it.
Tax. So yeah, just if they did that,
but
that'd be awesome.
But they're less than
I'd
they were
thrilled.
At. They traded away Devers and they took back Hicks. So they've got money to play with.
That's a good point. Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be great pickup. Iglesias is a stud. That's a legit eighth, ninth inning guy too.
Yeah. And clearly, like, they built room. They didn't go into the season thinking we cannot add salary at the deadline. So they lost. They took money off the books when they traded Devers and brought in Hicks. And they have room to get back to that point and then to add some more. So money should not be an issue. Guys like this, that's exactly like, I love the idea. I don't think it's going to happen because I haven't heard it connected once. But I hope it happens. Red Sox are in stealth mode per Sean McAdams. So maybe they're in stealth mode for Raisel. Let's quickly talk about first base. I know we got to get to Nuff said. But I keep reading the same report over and over and over again from different national and local reporters saying the same exact thing. The Red Sox have a raging hard-on for Yandy Diaz, but the Rays may or may not trade him. And it's that over and over and over again. And my question is, A, what's the likelihood of the Rays trading Yandy Diaz in your guys' eyes? And B, if the Rays are not going to trade Yandy Diaz, do you guys think that there's a chance that the Red Sox don't do anything at first base and with this offense?
That's funny you asked that. That was actually going to be my answer. If you asked me who I think they're going to get, I was going to say nobody. I don't think they're going to add a bat. I think they'll be content with who they got, which, say what you want, this offense has been great. This offense has been terrible. I think overall, probably somewhere in between. But there's one thing we do know, it's an inconsistent offense. So I would like for them to add Ryan O'Hearn. I've spoken about that a few times on here. I don't think they're going to do it. O'Hearn, good game today on Tuesday as we record. Heating up again, which is good to see. But I don't know if they get someone, maybe Carlos Santana. I don't know. I don't think they're getting anyone, though. I definitely don't think they're getting Yandy.
Pat?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards no on that end. I don't think if they don't get Yandy, they don't get anybody. Like, I haven't heard a peep about them on O'Hearn. I don't expect that to happen. Carlos Santana, I don't think is enough of an upgrade offensively for them to, granted, it wouldn't be a high price at all. I don't see them making that move because it feels kind of lateral and it takes away, you know, I don't know what he's making, but I can guarantee it's more than Abraham Toro. It's just, I don't know. But what I will say is I think they do add an offensive player. I think they actually do a package of Daniel Colome.
Coulomb, right?
Coulomb. Yeah, Danny Coulomb and Christian Vasquez.
Hey, we are back, baby!
Danny Coulomb is really, really good. Christian Vasquez is really, really bad.
I'm joking. That's actually like Coulomb would be a good bullpen. That's probably like a better version of what I said. Aaron Bummer. That's a better left-handed pitcher.
And he is a 1.16 in 40 games.
Like, he's been crazy good. The Orioles non-tendered that guy in the offseason.
Oh my god, dude! Orioles are just the friggin' a mess. I was looking at Taylor Rogers or whatever. Trevor Rogers, and then friggin' Stowers. They're a mess. Anyway, Coulomb would be great. That's a really good call. I might actually switch from Aaron Bummer to him. That's a really good one.
Get on the plane.
And then Vasquez, I don't know, man. I don't know if Vasquez is even, like, again, I one of my favorite Red Sox players ever, which I know is weird, but I just, for some reason, really like Christian Vasquez. He's rocking a 45 OPS plus. Do you really want to shake up your catching situation for that, for a guy who's probably not as good defensively? Like, Vasquez has a good arm, but, like, blocking, framing, I'd probably take Wong, or at least it's close, and then Wong is faster. Yeah, I could see Wong heating up more realistically than Vasquez. I don't know. I don't think that one is worth it.
All right. Before he gets enough said, I'll give my take on first base. If Yadier Diaz gets traded, it's to the Red Sox, because the Red Sox are the only team that's going to go nuts enough to pry him from the Rays. They clearly do not want to trade him. They probably would for a franchise-altering package. Franchise-altering is probably a little bit strong, but they would have to get a big package. And I don't know. Maybe the Red Sox pay it, maybe they don't. But if they don't get Yandy Diaz, I do think the Red Sox are going to add a bat. I maybe it's Ryan O'Hearn. Maybe it's someone that we're not expecting. I don't know. But Castro, with the names on the first, maybe Castro. That's an interesting one.
Rushing. Could be rushing.
Could be rushing. I don't know. But my reasoning for it is they clearly had this idea in mind that they were going to get X rental starter, whatever. And that guy may not come. Like, if they don't get a Merrill Kelly, then it's like, okay, well, we're going to trade these Rule 5 eligible guys. Like, we're going to lose them in the offseason. Like, it's okay if we trade them for Ryan O'Hearn. It's okay if we overpay a little bit for some other guy who we think can play first base or whatever other plan they might have. Like, they're going to get guys at the deadline. It's been quiet. I get it. But the Red Sox are not about to underwhelm us at the deadline. That's my prediction. They are not going to underwhelm us relative to the rest of the league. Underwhelm if you thought Joe Ryan this whole time, yes, they're going to underwhelm you. But if you look around the league at the 30 teams or the 23 or whatever buyers, they're not going to be among the bottom tier of that. Like, they're gonna be towards the top of the teams with rental additions. That's my prediction. Pat?
Very quick. And you tell me, over or underwhelming for you, Gordo, in terms of, you just said they will not underwhelm. Charlie Morton and Danny Colum.
If they did that, that's a top five. That's top five in the league in terms of rental adding teams.
Oh, that's a lot of qualifiers. Yes.
It's a lot of qualifiers, because you're right. There's going to be teams that add controllable stuff too. But in terms,
I mean,
of
the friggin' Giants got Rafael Devers.
They did. But I'm just saying, if you had a list of all of the rental players traded at the deadline and who they went to, the Red Sox, if they get those two guys, would be among the top teams on that list. They would be.
I mean,
Red
Sox have already acquired a really good pitching prospect in Harrison. They got Hicks for the bullpen. James Tibbs, they've reinforced the farm. They've already had a great deadline. This happened 6 weeks ago, bro.
They got Jorge Alcala and Jordan Hicks. They've gotten two relievers already, man. Which I'm not even saying that sarcastically. They did add to the bullpen, but
yeah,
I digress.
Technically.
Let's get to enough said. We got to be quick. I don't even know if I have enough said. Do you guys have anything?
Yes, I'm going to the Woo Sox game on Friday, and they're doing an emo fireworks night. So I'm gonna be like, my mom and dad don't understand me. All I want to do is watch fireworks and eat pizza. So I'm excited. I like Woo Sox games. I just love any minor league baseball game I fuck with. So can't wait for emo night. See you there if you're going.
Go tell our boy Christian Campbell that he's the man because he keeps hitting home runs.
Hey, Christian, you're the man because you keep hitting home runs.
There you go. Just like that. Okay. Go there and do that on Friday. That's your mission. Pat, you got enough said?
I don't think I do.
Okay, that's fine. I'll give you my enough says, just a quick line. Shout out Emmanuel Clase for throwing the ALCS last year. Gave us a wonderful World Series of awesome Aaron Judge dropping fly ball highlights and Garrett Cole not covering first base highlights. So I'm appreciative that he threw it on purpose for gambling purposes. I hope it was worth it. If he gets banned for life, a lot of guys will think twice, because, like, Luis Ortiz, no one gives a shit. It's Luis Ortiz. He's whatever. Emmanuel Clase is a legitimate name. If he gets banned for life, you'll think twice before you take some of the money, whatever the hell was going on here. And I know it's alleged and like, whatever, it's allegedly, but if it's true and he gets banned for life, maybe guys will learn their lesson. That's going to do it for Playtesty episode 244. Appreciate you guys tuning into this one. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe to WEI on YouTube and find the Playtesty playlist there. You can hit the thumbs up on all of our videos on the playlist. And then find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. It's deadline season. TikTok, TikTok. Nothing's happening now as we're recording. Maybe that'll change. Sox got another game in the afternoon, and then they're off on deadline day. So should make for an interesting day when the players are on the phones just like us. But till then, we'll be back in your ears soon. But appreciate you guys tuning into this one, and keep your Twitter feeds going. Peace.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.